So some challenging words in today's readings, especially in St. James and in Mark's Gospel, where St. James talks a lot about wealth and the way that wealth makes the human heart, it can make the human heart callous. And Jesus, who speaks about the order of sin and what consequences are of sin, and in fact, how devastating are those consequences. The Gospels and the Gospel and the readings today are a lot about values, about what it is that is truly of value. And what the world, of course, says is of value is not what Jesus says is of value. The world finds value in exterior things. Jesus finds value in interior things. And that makes all the difference in the way that we relate to ourselves, the way that we relate to each other, and the way that we relate to God. Jesus puts it very bluntly. If the interior things are not well, if we have within us vice and not virtue, it's so bad that it would be better for us to have been thrown into the sea and drowned than to spread what is within us. I don't think Jesus is saying these things because he's particularly pleased about someone actually being thrown with a millstone into the sea, right? We have to understand that Jesus sometimes uses hyperbole to make a point about truth. Does Jesus actually want you to physically cut your eye out? No, don't do it. He does not want you to physically cut off your hand or physically cut off your foot. Don't do it. But he is using very strong language to make a point about the starkness of truth, which is that it would be better. Like, that's how bad sin is. That if you had to place the value of sin next to the value of even losing very important parts of your person, like your eye or a hand or a foot. Bad as both of those things are, sin is still worse than this. You see, but Jesus uses this kind of imagery so that he can make us understand, like, all right, this is bad. Who would ever want to cut out their eye? I mean, nobody. Like, it's bad. Right? It's the sensory things to us are what are most obvious. And Jesus uses those sensory things in our bodies, in our human experience, so that we can understand properly about the things that are harder to kind of contemplate, those interior things, those attitudes of heart, those virtues within us that are hidden, that aren't always very well seen, right? That aren't always well understood. The ways in which we do struggle with blindness even to our own selves sometimes. Do you think the rich person that St. James is referring to, do you think if that person knew how callous they were and were to truly see the road to destruction that they were walking, do you think that they would change their ways if they truly understood? Probably. But because their heart is callous, right, they're blind to the fact that they're blind. Right? It seems kind of obvious. Like, we don't know what we don't know. And how dangerous can that be? So the voice of the prophet, right, which is what St. James does here in his readings, he has to be the prophet, and the prophet sometimes speaks uncomfortable words, right? In the first reading, Moses in the camp, and the Spirit of God, which is on Moses, is shared between the elders who themselves become prophets, and Jesus in the gospel reading himself speaks a sort of prophecy about these truths. Moses, who said, would that we all were prophets. Would that we all have eyes to see what is true of things interiorly. Speak them out to the world that's blind to those interior things. Jesus knows the stakes. And I think in our own experience, we too understand the stakes. Right? If we're honest, we know that those stakes are large. Because we know what it means when Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, right? It would be better for him if a great millstone were around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. We know what it looks like to be the cause of a little one to sin. Because in our lives, as children, we're taught what it means to be good, what it means to be bad. We don't learn those things on our own. We're shown those things by the people who come before us, by the grown-ups in the room that are in our lives, right? And if a child learns to sin, that child grows up to become someone whose life is not only miserable because they live a life of sin, but then they, as an adult, spread that to the children that are around them. Right? We can't help but share what is interior to us. And so we all know very well that when brokenness enters the human heart, that brokenness oftentimes doesn't just stick around for one generation. That brokenness follows the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. I have walked with so many people whose experiences are this very reality, who suffer through very real brokenness because of the sins not only that they have chosen, but the sins that their forefathers have chosen, whose parents grew up in brokenness, and whose parents grew up in brokenness, and whose parents grew up in brokenness. And it just follows down the line. You probably wouldn't be surprised how common that story is. You know, when people come to me and open up their lives and speak about their struggles, and you start to ask them questions about where does this arise? And you hear stories about how this wasn't just a problem that they dealt with, but this was a problem that was in their parents' lives. And this was a problem that was in their grandparents' lives. And this was a problem that was in their great-grandparents' lives, if they remember that far. That's why sin is so bad. That's why interior corruption is so dangerous, because Jesus knows that it doesn't just affect me, it affects everybody around me. And Jesus knows in the opposite way that it's also true, that if a child learns from the adults in their lives what it means to be good and holy and virtuous, that that goodness diffuses itself beyond them. That as they grow to be an adult, they pass on that goodness to their children, and their children pass on that goodness to their children. And I've seen the same thing. You know, as many times in our lives as we see people's lives who struggle, so also we can point and see those lives that are, so to speak, whole. I mean, all things considered. And you begin to ask them about their life experience and how it is that they seem to be so blessed. And of course, we know that circumstances are sometimes out of our control. There are a lot of things in life that can bring us misery or bring us joy that, you know, we frankly, like, we just receive it. But it's so important as well to be encouraged and to see examples around us of people who have learned not to teach the young ones to sin, but to teach the young ones to be beautiful and good and holy and virtuous. Because that goodness is not something that just abides in them. Right? It's a goodness that continues on and on and on. And what I have found in my own priesthood and my own time of ministry is that the most heroic people that I ever meet are people who stand in the breach between brokenness and wholeness, healing. There are people that come along who have walked into, been born into lives and families of great suffering and misery and destruction. And they're the ones who make a decision to say, not my kids. Not from here on out. And what makes that person so heroic is the fact that when they make a decision to do the right and to do the good, they're not just stopping the inertia of their own life, they're stopping the inertia of generations before them, which is why this moment of courage looks incredibly ugly a lot. You know, when people want to walk out of brokenness, it looks very difficult. There's an enormous amount of weight that's born because they bear the weight of generations. Those are the people that are going to be high, high in heaven. I often say that I just hope I make it to be the doorman. I just want to get in the door. But we have to be honest. We have to be honest. We have to be honest about what it means to look into the interior things in my heart. Wherever that woundedness is, wherever that brokenness is, wherever that habitual sin is, we gotta slay it. We gotta destroy it. Because if we don't, by necessity, we will pass that on in some form to the people around us. So as we take up arms to do battle in God's sight, Jesus not only heals us and brings us virtue, but he makes us prophets, men and women both, and he helps us to speak into the brokenness of other people's lives so that we can say, you know what, I've been there. Let me tell you what it means to walk out of that. Goodness in the end will conquer. And Jesus says, you can be against me or you can be with me. But there's nothing in the middle.